Our next guest on the program, a favorite here on the show, a longtime journalist in Maine, former communications director for the National Endowment for the Humanities, and these days making magic for all kinds of people with the Knight Kenny Group, doing public relations in southern Maine and, well, everywhere that help is needed. Felicia Knight joining us this afternoon. Hello there, Felicia.
Rich, so good to talk with you. And I'll just make one little correction. I was with the National Endowment for the Arts.
That's right. I wrote it down and then I said it wrong. I'm just so excited that you're back on with us. It's been too long.
Aw. Well, I'm excited to be here on the 1,384th show.
Yeah, it is. It's a big day. Frankly, 1383, not that great. 1385, promising. So this may be the best day to be with us.
Thank you, then, for choosing me to be with you on this day.
Of course. Well, we wanted to speak with you because of the proposed cuts in the Trump budget to both the NEA, the NEH, and other organizations, and start with the fact that none of this was unexpected, because we knew all along that the Trump budget would look for ways to save money.
This is absolutely correct, Rich. We knew that something like this was going to happen. It's what the president campaigned on, and so he followed through with that. What I am finding a little bit unexpected, and I have to say heartening from everything that I'm reading and that I'm hearing from friends in D.C., is that there really doesn't seem to be a lot of stomach for eliminating the cultural agencies in Congress, and that's with both Republicans and Democrats.
Well, and of course, I know this intimately from teaching high school civics. It is not the president's job to put together the budget. They make recommendations and suggestions, but ultimately it falls to Congress. And this idea, as you mentioned, might be a tough sell with a lot of people.
You're right. And it's disheartening and it's disappointing, but as I said, not unexpected that the president put this in his budget. And very often a presidential budget could be seen as a leadership blueprint. We have a completely different scenario than we have ever had in Washington. So I'm also very hesitant to make predictions because things are so different. But what we're seeing in the Congress, and this goes back to, and I was with the NEA for 5 years beginning in 2003, under a chairman who I think made great strides, Chairman Dana Gioia, in changing the focus and the relationship between the NEA and the Congress. And as you know, heads of federal agencies are not allowed to lobby, but they are allowed to provide information. And he did a tremendous bit of outreach with the Congress in getting grants into every congressional district so that members of Congress could see that there are arts organizations in their district that benefit from the NEA, but more important, that the people in their district benefit from the NEA. I know that the NEA is often charged with an elitist constituency, and nothing could be farther from the truth. The main goal for the NEA is to increase access for the arts to all Americans, and it could be argued, I think, that funding the NEA is the most populist thing the federal government does. And I think that Congress sees this now.
Well, let's talk about some of the work that the NEA, through their funding, has done for programs right here in the state of Maine.
It's been a tremendous amount of work that the NEA has done. As many people maybe don't realize, that 40% of the NEA's budget goes to state arts agencies. So nearly all of the funding for the Maine Arts Commission comes from the NEA. That money is re-granted into the state, and much of that money requires at least a one-to-one match. So there is a generation of additional funding for the arts that is it's catalytic what the NEA does. In the last 5 years alone, Maine has received more than $5.4 million in NEA funding. And that's a lot of money for the state of Maine. And that kind of money is transformative for smaller arts organizations in the state. Many of the state's larger arts organizations have benefited as well, but so have the smaller ones. And I think it's this egalitarian approach to arts funding that the NEA has adopted within the last decade that is crucial to its survival. And I think that we're going to see that will make a tremendous difference in the support that it gets in Congress.
And when you hear some of the comments, whether it's funding the NEA or the NEH or a public broadcaster or anything like that, there's a disconnect, at least in some of the people who are speaking publicly, because these are all organizations that benefit local communities. There's not some giant national master plan, and the money goes to so many local groups. And I look at the Maine Arts Commission that brought in more than $3 million from the NEA, and the work that they do for real small town high school programs, community theater and dance organizations, and so many small initiatives that simply wouldn't exist if they had to go out there with the hat in hand asking for money from the public.
It's true. And, you know, these nonprofit arts organizations do benefit tremendously from private donors, but the money that the Maine Arts Commission or the NEA can bring in does two things for them. Number one, it kind of gives them a stamp of approval because they have to go through a grant application process, and not everyone wins a grant. This is it's a publicly reviewed process. So if you win an NEA grant, that makes it easier for you to go to other funders locally and say, look what we've done, look what we've accomplished. I think that we are worthy of your support. And it is catalytic in that matter. And the other thing that it does is, obviously, it gives them much-needed funding that allows them to do things they might not otherwise be able to do and allows more access to the arts in their local communities. And I say that this is something that the NEA has done very, very well over the last maybe even decade and a half, two decades. There was a period of time when, in truth, the bulk of NEA grants went to the coast, basically. They went to the Metropolitan Museum or they went to the Los Angeles Symphony. And that had to change, and it did. And now there is at least one arts organization in every congressional district in the country getting an NEA grant. And if you listen to someone, for instance, the chairman of the House subcommittee that funds the NEA, who is a Republican, saying that there is a cultural and educational impact for the arts that play an important role in the country, and who recognize that the arts are an important component of our lives, and they make us more fully formed human beings, and they give us the kind of communities in which we want to live.
We're talking with Felicia Knight, former communications director of the National Endowment for the Arts. And while it makes for a fiery stump speech to talk about cutting these wasteful programs or programs that are seen as superfluous, when we talk actual dollars, what the NEA gets in terms of their annual appropriation is so tiny as to be laughable.
It is extremely tiny. It's, 0.04% of federal budget. And to the remark of wasteful, I can say this because I have seen how this agency operates firsthand. You have a small number of employees, roughly 150 full-time employees of dedicated public servants, and these are federal employees who come to work every day doing their very best to responsibly and consciously spend this money in a way that will give us the most bang for the buck, if you will. It's a very lean organization. The NEA was halved in employees back in the 90s during the original culture wars. It has slowly built itself back up. And may I remind people that it was a Republican president, George W. Bush, who proposed and signed into law a $21 million budget increase for the cultural agencies. So it can be done. And I think that when people see how efficiently and responsibly these agencies are run, they will understand that they are a vital component to our national culture.
Is that George W. Bush, the portrait artist?
Yeah, that is, exactly. Philip Kennicott, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning arts reporter for the Washington Post, recently did a really interesting piece on former President Bush and his painting, and surprisingly quite complimentary.
Well, yeah, and I've seen a couple of interviews with him where he talks about how very therapeutic it is for him as an artist, not to mention the subjects that he's painted as well. So is it really a political issue, Felicia, or is this just something to beat the drums for a very small percentage of a base? It seems like support for the arts is not limited to one political party.
I think you're correct, Rich. And when I worked with Chairman Joya, he made a point of stating over and over again that support for public funding of the arts is not a political issue. It can be turned into a political football and has been certainly on occasion. But I think if you ask any person, regardless of political party or affiliation, to think back over the course of their life to something that ties them to the arts, you will find it, whether it's taking piano lessons when they were seven or going on a museum field trip or actually pursuing some sort of study in the arts or the humanities. Anyone who ever picks up a novel and reads it is enjoying the humanities. Anyone who maybe is an atheist but likes to go look at a cathedral in Rome, you know, they're looking at design and architecture. The arts are inescapable in our lives, and support for them says who we are as a nation. And I think it's important for us as a nation to be supportive. And I am gratified and heartened by listening to our own congressional delegation and the comments they have all made regarding this turn of events. And they seem to be truly and actively supportive of maintaining funding for the cultural agency.
So if our congressional delegation is behind it, what else can concerned citizens do just to make sure that things work out properly?
I would say take nothing for granted, and it does not hurt to write a letter to your member of Congress and our two senators and thank them for their support. You know, people are always quick to send a letter or make a phone call criticizing what they don't like. It's far less frequent that these people receive thanks for what they are doing. And if you have a personal story to tell, tell it to them. I think it's important that people understand how personally the arts and the humanities relate to our individual lives.
No doubt about it. Felicia, thank you so much for being with us, as always, and sending anybody who's confused straight and laying out some of the specifics about what both the NEA and the NEH do for people all over America. We appreciate it.
Well, Rich, thank you for shining a spotlight on this. Once again, a terrific, terrific show. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thanks, Felicia. Felicia Knight here on Downtown.